You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
One more really nice day in Eastern Iowa, although it is about a 3-4 club win. We welcome you in to the Gym Class program on KGYM. Great to have you aboard as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour here on this Thursday. Scott Udash with you, Mark Dukes across the way, Ben on the other side of the glass, and you, our listener, the most important component of the equation out there. And we thank you for tuning in on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker as well. Got a great show for you. We'll talk college basketball officially for the first time with our Off the Glass segment. And we will talk with the coach, Kevin Lehman. Iowa getting ready to open up the season against Bethune-Cookman on Monday night. Iowa State getting ready to open up the season as well against, I believe, Ooey-Pooey. That is coming up Monday night as well at Hilton Coliseum in Ames. The basketball world is getting ready to tip things off as far as college hoops is concerned. And in fact, Jerry Palm coming out, for what it's worth, with his first bracketology of the year today. I know that thrills Mark Dukes like nothing else. It warms your insides today, doesn't it, on November the 3rd. Good afternoon.
No. Good afternoon to you and everyone out there. And no, I couldn't be the least bit interested, but because it's going to change for about 20 weeks.
We'll talk about it. Not that so much, but we'll talk some college hoops in just a little bit. Getting closer to the college football, the professional football weekend as well, the high school football season also. Eight-man games, the four quarterfinals being played tonight, the rest of the slate coming up tomorrow. And could be a rainy night for that. Could be a rainy Saturday in West Lafayette, Indiana as well. It could be a rainy Saturday in Ames. Could be rainy a lot of places throughout the Midwest. So keep that in mind as far as football this coming weekend. We are presented by Tobacco Community Credit Union. Check them out online at tobacco.com. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to their website at tobacco.com. We start things off today, Mark, with what's going on at Extreme Arena in Coralville. It is Championship Thursday for girls' state volleyball as the champions are being set today. Two championship games matches are in the books. Pretty darn good day for Eastern Iowa and pretty darn good day for the Mississippi Valley Conference as well. Congratulations to the 5A state champion, the Liberty Lightning, the Bolts getting their first, I believe, first ever team championship. I know it's their first volleyball championship, but I believe it is the first Liberty championship period since the school is practically new. But great job by Liberty. They defeated Pleasant Valley, the defending 5A state champions, 3-1 today. And then following that, it was the 4A state championship, Xavier against Cinderella, Clear Creek, Mana. And number one, Xavier, with the 3-1 victory over CCA. So Austin Feiler, who's going to be stepping down at the end of this year as the Xavier coach, he's going to concentrate on his Mount Mercy men's volleyball coaching. And Xavier wins another state championship. Going on right now, the 3A state championship. Davenport Assumption with an early 13-11 lead in the first set against Sioux Center. And then the 2A championship, the annual, seemingly annual rematch between Dyke New Hartford and Western Christian will take place. And then 1A, it'll be Gladbrook Rhinebeck taking on Ankeny Christian coming up tonight. And then volleyball, the nets will be put away for a year.
They will indeed. All indications are that Extreme Arena has been a good venue, very good crowds. I'm sure the retail businesses have benefited in that area, and that's good to hear.
It is. It is. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you. Phone line as well. If you'd like to reach out via the phone line, That is yours as well at 319-366-1600. Mark, you and I both grew up playing baseball. We've been involved in every aspect, I think, as far as the game of baseball is concerned. And the one thing that baseball delivers more than any other sport, I believe, is its unpredictability. And boy, was that shown over the last 48 hours. Because you go from the Philadelphia Phillies cranking out five home runs, looking like world beaters on Tuesday night, to being no hit on a combined no-hitter by the Houston Astros last night. If anything says baseball, that is it.
It is, and I want to know what people feel out there. Only the second no-hitter thrown in World Series history. Of course, the other one, Don Larsen's perfect game for the Yankees. How do you feel about four guys combining on a no-hitter? You know, I watched that, and mainly because the no-hitter was intact, but I can't say I got overly thrilled about it because, I mean, I'm long of tooth, and most no-hitters that I know of, not all, but most are pitched by one guy. But
those days are pretty much behind us now.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I think the days of the one pitcher no hitter, maybe not totally in the rearview mirror, but you know, with the bullpens being so effective these days and whatnot, I understand it. But what do you think? Were you excited about the no hitter last night? 319-366-1600.
It was different. Let's just say that. I think it's anticlimactic a little bit, Mark. I would agree with you as far as that is concerned, but I think we've seen so many of these combined no-hitters now that I think it's into our DNA a little bit more. It did not bother me at all, but it bothered a lot of people on, of course, what doesn't bother a lot of people on social media these days in 2022? Not a lot of folks said, you know what? Well, Javier threw 97 pitches last night and went six innings. Probably could have gone another, but in an important situation, would I be safe to say that if this was a regular season game, he would have been given a chance? Unless his pitch count went off the charts.
Yeah, possibly. I'm not sure what his pitch count was, but possibly.
It was 97.
Okay.
97 through six innings last night. And Abreu, Montero, and Presley each got an inning. Nobody got a hit. Only two base runners last night for the Philadelphia Phillies. Three base runners, I beg your pardon, for the Phillies. They had one in the ninth against Presley. But it's anticlimactic, but it's still a no-hitter. Then how do you celebrate a no-hitter? You don't go out and celebrate like you've won the World Series, obviously. And I thought Houston did a pretty good job of kind of a, hey, that was cool, but not the sub. It was a little more subdued than winning a World Series, you know, championship dogpile in the middle of the field would be.
The record number of pitchers used in a no-hitter is six. You remember by whom, Scott?
No, I do not.
The Houston Astros against the New York Yankees in 2003. A game started by Roy Oswalt and finished by Billy Wagner.
Two pretty good pitchers right there.
Six-man, no-hitter.
This was only a four.
Yes.
Matt Fairfax says it's cool but less impressive, says more about the Phils than the Astros at this point. Pivotal game five coming up tonight. We'll have it for you beginning at 6 o'clock here on KGYM and all of our frequencies. With the first pitch just past 7 o'clock coming up this evening. Who will get the advantage?
Yeah, it's a big game. There's no question about it. Last one in Philadelphia. Would you leave a game early, Scott, if your team was being no hit?
No.
Yes or no?
No.
Poll question, KGYMradio.com, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Steve Anderson, his team, setting up shop. Highway 1 West. I'm with you.
Never.
That would be my team's down 7-0. That would be the only thing keeping me there.
Oh, yeah. I might be out the door. Well, if I paid a lot for a ticket and had a primo seat, no, I'm not leaving till the bitter end. If I'm in the bleachers or something somewhere and, you know, it's 8-0 in the eighth inning, yeah, I might beat the traffic out a little bit or get with the early Dodger folks. Sorry, I shouldn't say that.
If you're paying Tennessee, Georgia football tickets.
Yeah.
Which are going anywhere from $600 to $5,000.
Have you checked
on the market today?
Our friend Rusty, he has not ponied
up. He's on fixed income.
Okay, he's not ponied up for that? Okay.
No.
All right. Yeah, I'd stay. I'm staying for a no-hitter anyway. I mean, it's a chance for history. Yeah, there have been a lot of them, but it's a chance for history. Now, I will say this, and see if the people out there agree with us on this as well, but usually, especially if it is a lopsided game, even the home crowd, if the home team is being no-hit, will tend to cheer to keep the no-hitter going even against their team they're rooting for. Am I wrong about that?
No, I don't think so.
Not in a World Series situation, though. Philly fans were not rooting for Houston to keep the no-hitter going. That was one big difference last night. But the bats were silenced by the Houston pitching. Houston dug deep. Now, the last time, Philadelphia has been no-hit this year. Rob Thompson, their manager, coming out and saying, yeah, we were no-hit, but we came back and won the next day.
Mm-hmm.
That's baseball. Hate to throw a Kirk Ferentz out there, but that's baseball. And that's what makes baseball the grand game that it is.
And it's going to be different tonight because the Phillies reportedly are going to trot out the baby blues.
Oh, nice.
The baby blue unis.
Nice. Very good. Very good. Tug McGraw's kid, he's famous too, was wearing his dad's jersey. Did you see that the other night?
I did.
That was pretty cool. 319-366-1600. 1156 says, as a Cub fan who went to bed early in Game 7 in 16, I admit I might leave a little early. Luckily for me, my phone blew up with texts from friends saying, you better not have gone to bed. You went to bed in 16?
Come on, 1156.
You can't do that. You can't do that. No, never do that. Especially if your team is in a game 7. You gotta stay to the bitter end.
And you haven't won for 100 years.
Yeah, you gotta stay to the bitter end. There's always time to sleep. Always time to get that done. But yeah, game 5 coming up tonight. Very interesting situation because with the rain out, we were scheduled to bring you the football game between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Houston Texans tonight, which brings up a whole bunch of questions in its own right, Mark, because the Eagles and the Texans do play tonight. That is in Houston. Meanwhile, you have the Phillies and the Astros going at it in a pivotal game 5 of the World Series. Even with the TV broadcast tonight on, what, Amazon Prime, it's going to get the bigger number.
Oh, I think the World Series, isn't it?
You want to bet on that one?
I read that Amazon's viewer numbers have been reported differently than what Nielsen or whatever the ratings.
Yeah, there's no way to determine
that.
No,
there isn't.
There's no way.
So, good question.
If this was on network television,
it'd be different.
Not a doubt. If this was still on Fox or the NFL Network, NFL would beat Major League Baseball. Do I agree with it being that way? No. There's no way that Game 5 of the World Series should be trumped by an awful Houston Texans team taking on unbeaten Philadelphia in the NFL tonight. But
I think the remotes will get a workout tonight, or you could listen to the radio, right?
Yeah, listen to the World Series on the radio. There you go. Good matchup tonight, by the way. Veterans going at it. Will Justin Verlander turn things around tonight, Mark, as his World Series numbers are not good? He will take on Noah Syndergaard. And Philly's looking very smart right now to push Syndergaard back to Game 5. and trot him out there. So Syndergaard's been very, very good in the postseason. Verlander, up through his game one start, had been very productive in the postseason as well for the Houston Astros.
He's 0-6 with an ERA north of 6.
Yeah.
In a World Series. Very un-Verlander-like.
Is he due?
Maybe.
Maybe. 319-366-1600 as we come up on 20 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock here on the Gym Class program. We come your way from our Circus Sports Iowa studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Also getting closer to the college football weekend. We will have tomorrow for you available for download the Before the Boom podcast as we talk Iowa and Purdue. That'll be Saturday at 11 o'clock from Ross-Ade Stadium in West Lafayette, Indiana, which could be a very windy and rainy West Lafayette coming up on Saturday. That's the forecast anyway.
I'm going to keep our eyes on that because they're talking about winds 30, 35 miles an hour, gusts up to 45 or more. Of course, that can change. We know about weather. I don't think the rain would affect things as much as the wind. But that's you're going to have to keep an eye on that as you make your predictions, bets, whatever they may be. And who does it favor? We'll talk about that on the podcast.
Yeah, we will. And we'll have our predictions coming up on that, as well as the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6, which will be coming up tomorrow. A chance to win a $30 gift card if you hitch your wagon up to one of the prognosticators who is the spot on for the weekend. I am going for 4 in a row. Just throwing that out there. Just throwing that out there for you people. And then we'll hear from Coach Kirk Ferentz on Tuesday on the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn. Coach's Cuts, that is brought to you by Network Computer Solutions, online at ncsei.com. You can contact them for a free quote on office security. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle. 1156 says he will stay up next time. Thank you. Cubs hope there's a next time much sooner than there was the last time they got to the World Series. 321, we're going to talk to Kevin Lehman coming up here in just a little bit. We'll get an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard for you coming up as well. That'll be just around the corner here. We're going to get to talking about this with Kevin Lehman. We didn't get a chance yesterday. We had a very full program, but wanted to talk a little bit about the report that came out that saw Gonzaga talking with the brand new commissioner of the Big 12 Conference. We'll get Kevin Lehman's thoughts about this, if there is any fire where the smoke is, or smoke where there is fire, whatever the case may be, however you want to look at it. But apparently talks about Gonzaga joining the Big 12. I have many questions. Numero uno is the fact that last time I checked, there wasn't a football field on the Gonzaga campus.
Hasn't been since 1941.
Correct. Unless they're planning on starting up a football program. Now, it's been done before. BYU is a member of the West Coast Conference, but not a football member of the West Coast Conference. But that is not the Big 12. That is not the Big 12. So that's my first question as far as Gonzaga joining and reaching out. Also, enjoy that trip from Spokane to Morgantown. That will be, of course, does it even matter anymore, Mark, about geography in the world of college athletics?
No, I don't think so. And I don't think this is a good fit.
I don't either.
I really don't. I mean, basketball-wise, it would make things very interesting in the Big 12, an already strong league. It has men's and women's basketball, 16 sports in total. Gonzaga does have baseball. It has track and field, cross country, golf, rowing, soccer, and tennis on both men's and women's sides. But the big absence, no football.
Does this help Gonzaga, though? And I know it does as far as the almighty dollar is concerned. There's a lot more greenbacks involved with the Big 12 than there is with the West Coast Conference at this point. Even though the WCC usually gets two and sometimes three into the NCAA basketball tournament. Let's face it, that's where they make their money for the year. But if you're Gonzaga, you're already, as an example, they are the number one overall seed in Jerry Palm's Bracketology on November 3rd, which you love. I know. But if you go to the Big 12, if you're okay, you're Gonzaga, you go through, you play a great non-conference schedule, you maybe lose a game. You go through the West Coast Conference, you lose maybe a game. You're going to be a one or a two every year in the NCAA tournament. You go to the Big 12, you're going to lose games. You're not going to be a number one seed.
Mm-hmm.
How does this move help you? Other than, yeah, you're going to have a whole lot more money. It doesn't.
Does it really help the Big 12 either, aside from basketball? I don't think so. Now, there are some schools, I think of particularly in wrestling, the Big 12 wrestling conference is quite different than other sports. In fact, you and I is in the Big 12.
Correct. So is Missouri.
But football's a different animal. And if the Big 12 wants to bring someone in, or a couple teams in, you got to believe they're going to have a football program and a decent one at that.
I don't think
you're losing Texas and Oklahouma,
but you're gaining Houston. You're gaining Houston, which is a great basketball program. You're gaining Cincinnati, which is very, very good, very, very good. UCF has been up and down as far as basketball is concerned. As of late, but I just don't think it's a good fit. 319-366-1600. 6608 says Rutgers to USC, and I'll just throw UCLA in there as well. Will be a fun one too. Distance means nothing in today's money-driven conference decisions.
Yeah, you would have a Central Florida at Gonzaga game, theoretically.
Yes, you would. You can't get any more away from one another than Orlando to Spokane.
Ocean to ocean conference.
Crazy. Absolutely crazy. And by the way, the WCC is a whale of a basketball conference. Really, really good. With St. Mary's, Gonzaga. Now, BYU is leaving. Maybe that has something to do with it.
San Francisco?
San Francisco was in the NCAA tournament last year. Santa Clara has been in many, many years. It's a good conference out there. We're going to talk about, we'll pose that question for Kevin Lehman coming up here in just a little bit. But before we do that, we need to throw it to Mark for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. Check them out online at emilshideaway.com. They're open at 4 o'clock. Eat local. Try their burgers and fries. They're made fresh daily. And wet your whistle with drinks from their fully stocked bar. Or bring the whole family for friendly service in their dining area. Thanks to Emil's Hideaway.
Mourning the passing of one of the, if not the best, punters in NFL history, Ray Guy. He died at the age of 72. An all-around athlete at Southern Miss. He was a punter, kicker, defensive back at Southern Miss. Really a great all-around athlete who, rumor is, could have played baseball or basketball as well.
He had 8 interceptions at Southern Miss and made a 61-yard field goal as well.
And a 93-yard punt.
And a 93-yard punt. Not bad.
December 10th, circle your calendar if you're a fan of the match. Golf's made-for-TV event. It apparently will feature Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy against the team of Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas. Lastly, the NBA G League opens play Saturday. The Iowa Wolves at home for games Saturday and Sunday. Jordan Bohannon has made the Iowa roster. He'll join Luka Garza as they oppose Joe Wieskamp's team in those games Saturday and Sunday in Des Moines.
J-Bo will have number 16. That will be his roster number. A little different there.
Mm-hmm.
But, hey, congratulations to Jordan for making the team right there. 3:29. We'll take a break, come back, and when we do, we'll talk to the coach, Kevin Lehman. Our first segment, our first edition of the Off the Glass segment will be coming your way right here on KGYM. We'll preview the 2022-2023 season. Talk hoops with you when we return after a look at weather and a break here on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast, and clouds are going to gradually build in as we head through the day. It's going to be breezy and temperatures will be mild in the low to mid 70s. As we head into tonight, we are going to have the clouds taking over. There could be a few spotty showers here and there with more rain arriving after 8 or 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. We'll have rain widespread through the day with periods of time with some moderate to heavy showers, and we are going to see some high rainfall totals out of the system by the time it's all said and done early Saturday. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
Start NFL Week 9 off right with a no-sweat same-game parlay from FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account, you'll get free bets back if your Thursday night same-game parlay doesn't hit. NFL same-game parlays are the perfect way to combine your bets for a chance at an even bigger payout. For the Thursday night contest, Davis Mills going under the passing yards total, Jalen Hurts going over the rushing yards total, and Miles Sanders as an anytime touchdown scorer is an intriguing same-game parlay. You can build your own or choose from one of the popular same-game parlays pre-built for you in FanDuel's top-rated sportsbook app. However you want to play, you can bet the NFL on Thursday night with a no-sweat same-game parlay. Just sign up with promo code COON if you don't already have an account. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in Iowa, 3 plus legs, minimum $1 bet required. Refund issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max free bet $5. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
This isn't just a party.
It's the super exclusive MVP We Wave party presented by U.S. Cellular.
The Z and KGYM crew will be handing out a limited number of MVP tickets at U.S. Cellular stores.
Get yours to party with us November 19th at Hazard County Saloon. Watch the Iowa-Minnesota game. Come dressed up to win the biggest fan contest.
Enjoy food and extra chances at Hawk Sum Prizes.
We'll be giving away a limited number of MVP tickets today from 4 to 6.
At U.S. Cellular, 3350 7th Avenue in Marion.
Come get yours.
Hey, why are everybody's leaves out?
Leaf vacuum day, buddy.
How do you guys all know this?
It's right on my phone. See?
Huh. Nothing's on my phone.
Well, you're signed up at crnewsnow.com, right? That's how the city of Cedar Rapids lets you know.
Don't they just sign me up automatically or something?
No. You actually have to sign up at crnewsnow.com. It takes like 3 minutes.
No more missed leaf day. I like it.
Fall leaf vacuum collection continues through December 9th. Never miss the leaf vacuum again. Sign up at crnewsnow.com.
The Trinity of Terror. One night in Cedar Rapids. Black Veil Brides.
We'll stain us with the skull and crumb.
Motionless in White.
We unite to
Ice Nine Kills.
Violet,
Friday, November 11th. The Alliant Energy Powerhouse. Tickets are on sale now at creventslive.com. Black Veil Brides, Motionless in White, Ice Nine Kills, special guest Atreyu.
Back on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Thank you for joining us. Do appreciate it as we take it through the 3 o'clock hour here from the Circus Sports Iowa studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Scott and Mark with you. Going to talk some college hoops with you coming up here in just a moment. And then we will have before 4 o'clock a Bowling Night in America wrap-up from last night. A very interesting night on the lanes. Always is on 31 and 32, and you add the pen pals and the rusty nails, and mayhem ensues. So we will get to that coming up in just a little bit. But we're going to talk officially for the first of our off-the-glass segments in 2022-2023 as Coach Kevin Lehman joining us again one more year to take us through the college basketball season, which will start in earnest on Monday night around the country. Most teams will be teeing up on Monday night. There have been some exhibition games, if you will, and that includes Iowa and Truman State from last Monday night at Carver Hawkeye Arena. And ready or not, we're here. Kevin, you got your schedule ready to go? You know where you're heading first and second and all that good stuff?
Yes, Scott, I had the Panthers last night. But Monday, I'm looking down the schedule to see who's actually playing anybody. And as Dick Vitale would say, it's a bunch of cupcakes on Monday night. I just can't find a good game until next Friday when Michigan State's playing Gonzaga.
Well, let's start there. Mark and I were just talking about this a little bit before the bottom of the hour, and that is the reports that Gonzaga has been meeting with the Big 12, talking about at least perhaps looking into joining the Big 12. And aside from the fact that Gonzaga does not have a football team, what, besides money, does this help Gonzaga? I mean, they're year in and year out perennially a number one seed playing in a good mid-major conference in the West Coast Conference. Do you give that up for the almighty dollar? Because you're not going to be a number one, more than likely, coming out of the Big 12.
Well, we're seeing everything else change for the almighty dollar, so maybe this is too. But, you know, BYU jumping to the Big 12 from their league, and I think other than people like you and I that are sports fans, you're hard-pressed to name, other than St. Mary's, who else is in that West Coast Conference.
Santa Clara,
Paramount.
San Francisco,
Pacific, Pepperdine, Portland. But I don't think the average fan knows that. But if you look at Gonzaga's schedule, they've got Michigan State on the 11th, Texas on the 16th, Kentucky on the 20th, and then they play Baylor. Kentucky ranked. But I don't know if they're concerned, and they're getting high seeds throughout this thing, so I don't know what the thought process is. And I heard you mention the trips they'd have to take West Virginia. Central Florida's going to be in the league. Cincinnati's going to be in the league. And we always forget, this isn't just basketball. Your other sports have to make those trips also. And that's what seems to be forgotten throughout this whole realignment process, whether it's Southern Cal and the UCLA Bruins going to Big Ten. It's all these other sports have to make this travel back and forth and be students, athletes. So I don't know what the motivation is, other than, you know, Big 12 says we are open for business, and they're trying to put a power league together. For basketball, they just signed that lucrative ESPN contract. That's, you know, football and basketball combined.
Well, yeah, and even if you're you mentioned all those teams Gonzaga plays annually. They line up five or six really good non-conference games. You're not going to be able to do that if you join the Big 12.
Well, they already have them made, so it's going to, like, their schedule's going to be flip-flop. So now in December, they're going to be playing the Buffoon Cookmans and the UIPUIs of the world that we're seeing Iowa and Iowa State do, rather than playing those teams that they're doing now. And then once they get into league play, you know, it's a little bit of a drop-off for Gonzaga. I just don't see the motivation either, unless if they think it's going to basically, they're going to struggle recruiting. It's the way of the world now that you've got to get realigned with big names and get those conference television deals to get money in your coffers. I'd like to be what they call a fly in the room on these discussions between the Big 12 and Gonzaga.
Kevin, as you well know, news this week that Bill Self has been suspended for four games related to a 2017 incidents regarding corruption. His top assistant suspended as well. My question is this going to be enough for the NCAA?
Based on what the NCAA has done to Memphis, their punishment, Louisville, you see that one today, $5,000 fine. Rick Pitino absolved of all level one, level two violations.
Yeah.
Here's my question for you, Mark and Scott. How would you like to be Oklahoma State and Mike Boynton? They got hammered in the same situation. Now you got Louisville, Memphis, Kansas. Well, Kansas hasn't come down yet, but basically a slap on the hand. I will say this. I am glad that they didn't punish the student-athletes that are still in the program, is what happened to Oklahoma State. And this independent accountability resolution process, and that is a mouthful to say, this thing goes away after this year also. This is the last year they're going to use this resolution process where you have to accept their findings and there's no arbitrary action afterwards. So, just a strange time. You know, Mark, it's kind of like four guys throwing a no-hitter.
It is, but you know what? Assistant coaches have lost their jobs. You mentioned Oklahoma State. People have gone to jail. I mean, it just seems like it is, like you said, this is a not even a slap on the wrist. This is just like, go sit in the corner for 10 minutes, and then we'll reevaluate the situation here. But again, this is not the first time this has happened in, all the years of penalties as far as college athletics are concerned.
Well, amazing. You mentioned 2017. That was 5 years ago. Now, Oklahoma State, I can't remember who was the coach when they had those violations. You know, Mike Boynton was the assistant and took over the program. But I mean, this thing has drug out so long, and it's weird because we had the FBI investigation. They handed the case to the FBI, to the NCAA on a silver platter, and they sat on this thing for so long. It's just old news. It's like no one cares anymore. It's such a strange, turn of events in college athletics. But NIL, transfer portal, let's throw this in there, guys. It's just, it's a different time.
Exhibitions are largely finished up. I don't know how much or if you caught Iowa, but if you did, impressions.
I did. I went to Carver Hawkeye. I want to see those guys up close and personal. I was really impressed. I thought Tony Perkins was outstanding.
Me too.
And, you know, Peyton Sanford is going to be, what would you say, a combination of Peter Jock and Bohannon. You better find this guy in transition because he can make frees in a hurry. I was really impressed by this Iowa team. Are they good enough to win a regular season title? Probably not. Can they make a run? I know we're a long way off, and win a postseason Big Ten conference tournament? Yeah, they got some talent. I think they're really going to be hard to guard, and they're going to be really fun to watch play.
I agree with you about Tony Perkins, and we did not see Aaron Ulis, obviously, in that game because he was sitting out his one-game suspension. Things that, besides Tony Perkins, that really jumped out at me, number one, Connor McCaffrey. If he can hit three threes in a game, each game this year, that makes Iowa infinitely better. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but he did say that he spent his summer working on his three-point shot. Even if he has the ability to hit that on a half-consistent basis, people are going to have to guard him, which is going to help everybody else. The other thing, I guess on the maybe not so positive side of things, I think Rabach is better, especially on the offensive end. Is going to give up points as far as the defensive end is concerned. Chris Murray is not probably as physical as Keegan Murray was to help out down low. So that might be a little bit of a problem. I think you're going to see Ogundele a little bit more this year than you did a year ago. Just a couple of things that I took away from the game.
I liked what they did with Josh Ogundele. They played him like a seven-minute stretch. His tongue was hanging out. I talked to Jeff Sells about it, too, and I said, just play him into shape. He's got quick hands. He moves pretty well. He's got a fairly good feel for the game. We saw him, you know, really help in the Big Ten tournament last year. I think this is a guy, and when you coach, it's invaluable when you have that post guy that can give you maybe 4-5 minutes a half. It's huge. The rest of your other guys. And he's got a presence in there with his size. He's got to be able to see out of foul problems, which he did. So I was impressed by him. I think this is a guy that's going to get a little better as it goes on. And I tell you what, I've always been a Connor McCaffrey fan. This kid's got some toughness. He doesn't take guff from anybody. And remember, he's not playing baseball anymore, so maybe we're going to see a better shooting performance out of him because he's focused on one sport. He's the six-year guy. He is the leader of this team, and it's his last year through. Always a concern about the size up front. I thought Chris Murray did some really good things. He scored inside and outside, showed the same thing that Keegan has, those soft hands, can post up. It's a Division II team, Truman State, a little bit depleted because they got raided by the transfer portal, Jeff Horner's team. Indiana State took two of his best players, including Mason Miller from out of Iowa City, Regina. But I think it's going to be an Iowa team that's going to be fun to watch, hard to guard, and they're going to score some points. Can they guard and make stops when they have to? That's always the question we have with one of Coach McCaffrey's teams.
Kevin, you said you had Northern Iowa last night. What did you see out of the Panthers?
So we go in there with the Panthers. They lost so much with Green and with the Bucks. Burhau was such a sensation for all those years. Fife probably not going to play this year, the way it looks like. They lost a lot of guys, but I was impressed by what I saw. Really, this may be a better defensive team we've seen in quite some time from Ben Jacobson, but typical Coach Jake team, really fundamentally sound. Titan Anderson looked tremendous last night. I know it's a Division III team, but, you know, he hits a couple threes. We didn't know if he could make those. He gets on the glass. Betts played at that five spot, kind of stretch five. I kind of like what I saw. And the two guys that we thought would really bury him didn't play well. Bowen struggled to shoot it. Nate Heise struggled to shoot. Those guys were combined 3 of 18. I think once they make that trip to play at Richmond, at Virginia, we'll know a lot more about this team. And Seth Tuttle said, I can't wait. Jeff goes, I can't wait to go to Virginia and find out what we're made of.
First to 45 might win that game.
Yeah, you want to take the under on that one, whatever it is. The rumor was they played very well, the Northern Iowa Panthers, in their secret close scrimmage against Wisconsin. I got pretty good eyes on that, too, because that was held at the University of Dubuque. So Robbie Severdine, the coach of Dubuque, was in the gym because they had to run the control panels and so forth, the scoreboards. So he gave me a little bit of insight. He said the Panthers looked pretty good in that contest.
Did he tell you how the Badgers looked?
Well, we didn't get into that because I was trying to get ready to broadcast. More than an Iowa game. But, are the Panthers good enough to win the Valley? No. But I think it's going to be another really solid team by Coach Jake. And this is year number 17.
That's
he's
hard to believe.
In 16 seasons, he's been in the top half of the Valley 12 of those 16 seasons. I mean, he's kind of the Wisconsin of the Valley.
Well, and UNI has always played good defense, no doubt about that, under Ben Jacobson. And that's kind of been their MO a little bit, with a lot of questions about putting the ball in the basket this year. I mean, they've got to double down now as far as the defense is concerned. But as Mark has said many times, defense travels. And you can stay in games if you play good defense.
Well, they've gone away from that defense the last couple of years. They tried to play much faster with A.J. Green, a little bit looser with the ball. I think this is going to be a team that kind of goes back to what we saw maybe 5 years ago with Golden Isle. They're going to be more solid defensive end, but they want to continue to play fast because they think this really makes Bowen Bourne a better player if they speed the tempo up. I tell you, who was really impressive was Cole Henry. The big concern is, you know, Austin Fife, who's going to play that five spot? Henry was, he's 16 minutes, he's 5 for 5. And this is a guy, you know, he was a high school quarterback at 6'9". He has a great feel for the game, his ability to pass the basketball. So, I came away pretty impressed with this Golden Iowa team. I wouldn't kind of get to go about their talent level, but this is a developmental program. They redshirt guys, even though they say they're young, and they've only got one senior in Fife and one junior in Betts, but those guys have all been redshirted. So you've got sophomores that are really juniors and freshmen are really sophomores.
What about Iowa State? The Cyclones open with 3 straight home games, including against Scott's favorite team.
One of them.
IUPUI. What should we expect from the Cyclones?
You know, that is a great question, Mark. I'm kind of waiting to see, you know, when they play Villanova on the 24th, because they set up as you would do with a team like this with a bunch of transfers. It's a fairly easy schedule with UAPUI and in North Carolina A&T, Milwaukee out of the gate. I think the big question is Darren Holmes going to be their point guard? Are they going to be one of those freshmen, or whether it's going to be Lipsy, or who's going to play that point guard for him? I like their front line. They have much better rim protectors than they've had in the past with Oshinyi, the young man from St. Bonaventure, and Hassan Ward at BCU. So they got length up front. But we've talked about this before, guys. Who's going to step in and be that bucket getter for them? I'm not sure who's been developing that role yet, whether it's going to be Holmes or Kalsher, or just who's going to do it.
You had to feet to the fire. Who's your teams to win the Big Ten and the Big 12? Is it Kansas again in the Big 12, or can Baylor knock them off? Baylor's got some good folks.
I'm going Baylor because if you look at that backcourt, Flagler comes back, L.J. Cryer, and a lot of talk about the freshman, Keontae George, 6'4". They may have the best backcourt in the country with Baylor. And if you look at Kansas, they don't have a lot of guys coming back. Harris is back off that championship team. DeJuan Harris, the point guard, who stepped out of bounds in that last play against North Carolina. Jalen Wilson, they're kind of reloading a little bit at Kansas, but it's, you know, it's still Kansas. And I kind of laugh because did you see the other sanctions against Kansas? They couldn't go on the road recruiting for a couple of weeks. I'm like, it's Kansas. They don't have to go on the road to recruit.
Yeah.
They're Kansas. So those type of penalties are just kind of a joke to me.
How about the Big Ten?
I tell you, it's going to be interesting, guys. Everybody's talking about Indiana because the front line that comes back. I think you got to take a look. The team that I'm intrigued by is Illinois because of what he's got in transfers and Aaron Shannon from Tech, Matthew Maher from Baylor. I'm kind of intrigued to see what this Illinois team is going to do. But I think it's a wide-open Big Ten. Michigan, Ohio State, I think usual suspects at the top, Purdue. I really think this Iowa team is going to be a factor in this. They're going to be good at home. Hawks are going to be good in Carver Hawkeye, and they're going to – they got tremendous length. Didn't you – that impress you guys watching Iowa play against – Truman State, just that front line length all the way across, and even especially in the backcourt when they started the way they did with 6'4" at that point guard position.
I agree.
They're a big team.
I agree. It's going to be interesting. Big Ten may not have those teams that are going to be outstanding. A couple of teams, you know, top five, but I think they're the depth of the top maybe five or six teams in the Big Ten is going to be really good. It's going to be fun to see going down the stretch this year. No doubt about that.
You also impressed me too, Scott, with Josh Dix. He's another one of those guys that Fran McCaffrey finds those guys that can shoot at high skill level, gives them confidence. And this kid had a broken leg a year ago. He came in there and, you know, he hits back-to-back threes. I thought he was very, very impressive to watch him play.
Well, we tee it up for real on Monday, and we'll talk next Thursday and take a look at big wins, I'm sure, from Iowa and Iowa State on Monday evening. So, Kevin, we look forward to another year with you, man.
Hey, we're looking forward to it, guys. And remember, Mark, the world's changing. You're going to have four guys pitching no-hitters.
Non-softball.
Very true. Thanks, Kevin.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
All right. Kevin Lehman, the coach, joining us here on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class and KGYM with the Off the Glass segment. We will take a break. We'll come back, and we will have a Bowling Night in America wrap-up for you right after this.
Elevate your swim game at Circa Resort and Casino, Las Vegas's newest destination. Featuring the best pool amphitheater in history, Stadium Swim. Three levels, six pools, and a 143-foot diagonal screen. It's 365 days of fun in the sun with all sports, all seasons. Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino. Book the time of your life today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Tune into the Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the Adult League.
But they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym. And this Bowling Night in America wrap-up is brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street, Southwest in Cedar Rapids. They are the home of Bowling Night in America. And what a night it was last night on the lanes as the Pin Pals went at it with the Rusty Nails in one of the great rivalries in all of sport. And it came down to the last frame of the last game.
As it should.
Well, it hasn't always.
But the Rusty Nails came up on the short end of things. losing 15.5 to 14.5. So what do? You tip your cap to the pals, right?
And you hand them the jacket.
Yeah. The jacket will be in their possession for a period of time. We'll face them again this year a couple different times. But good close win for the pals. Good news is that the Rusty Nails stayed in second place in the Adult Evergreen League. And good night ahead by all, even in a loss, huh?
It was fun. It's always fun. It's always fun. They bowled very well last night. And we had our moments. They had their moments. A lot of people had their moments last night. I don't believe a 300 was had last night, though.
Nope. The high was 276 by Doug Swoboda. He also had the high series at 764. I think only three 700s in the league last year. But one of our guys came fairly close, did he not? I don't recall who that was.
Wasn't me.
So why did I even bring it up?
That had to be Bob. After not a sterling first game.
It didn't sound like it, no.
No, it wasn't a good first game. It was not a good first game, but yeah. Staying in second, so overall, not a bad night. Not a bad night. And it's always fun bowling with the pals.
It wasn't a five-man no-hitter, so.
No, it was not a five-man no-hitter
yeah.
Or anything like that. But we'll go at it next week. We'll try her again, see if we can do better.
We will. And the holiday season is upon us. I don't want to get too far ahead of things, but it is. You can visit the pro shop out there at May City Bowl for your shopping needs. Inquire about open bowling, maybe even league play. Give them a call, 362-0136, or lots of information at the website, maycitybowlcr.com.
Yeah, looking forward to that coming up next week, and we'll have another preview and recap coming your way next Wednesday and Thursday. Coming your way tonight, it is game number 5 of the World Series between the Phillies and the Astros. Noah Syndergaard on the hill for Philadelphia, Justin Verlander for the Houston Astros. Over what will get more shots of Cade Upton or more runs off of Justin Verlander?
I know what I hope.
They're married, you know.
I do.
We found, if you didn't know that, you'd certainly know that now watching the podcast. Right? You got to have something to talk about. You got to have something to talk about.
Not even she's happy with his World Series performances.
No, she's not. I just got a feeling Verlander can't keep doing this. I just have a feeling he's turning it around tonight. I took the Astros. I got to stick with the Astros.
All right.
Are you going with the Astros tonight?
Nope. Last game in Philly, they're going to prevail.
All right. Astros will be forced to win two. They'll play again on Saturday for sure, and then Sunday, if necessary, game 7. It's a best of 3, basically, right now with the series tied at 2. We'll have it tonight at 6 o'clock for you, 7 o'clock with the first pitch, just past 7 right here in KGYM. Mark, we'll have the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6 tomorrow. We'll take a look at the football weekend. See you then.
We will. Talk then.
It's been the Gym Class right here on KGYM.
Niner loved working in IT, but he wanted more.
I knew I could make more money if I was certified.
His boss encouraged him to go to My Computer Career.
My manager knew that I'd be more valuable.
The experience was top-notch.